Okay. Okay, you said that people have no choice but to do what they are conditioned to do. There is no controller, no one in charge. What then are we to make of ideas like volition and intention? How do we understand effort to improve ourselves? Are we not already going to do whatever we are conditioned to do? In the West, the problem of free will. Right, okay. Well, the point is that, yes, there is volition and intention, of course. You can feel that inside of yourself. There's a volition or intention to do this and that. But the point is that the volition is largely conditioned, right? Why do you will a certain thing? Why do you intend a certain thing? And if you look inside of yourself, you can see that that intention comes from your conditioning of the past. When you choose certain food, why do people in Sri Lanka choose Sri Lankan food and people from the West choose Western food? It's not because, there is much free will. It's because that's what you've been conditioned to do. Sri Lankan people like Sri Lankan food. Western is like, Western food. It's natural. You have grown up with that. That's what your mother gave you as a child. So that's what you like. And life is like that. Life is, we choose according to our past conditioning. So yes, there is intention, but intention is essentially conditioned. And yes, there is effort. Of course, there is effort. And effort matters. But the effort that you put in is also conditioned. Why have you come here to meditate? It's conditioned by your faith and confidence in Buddhism, right? That's why you're here. So effort is conditioned by something before. If Buddhism says that you should try to be wise, then that effort in trying to be wise and reflecting in a skillful way is conditioned by you reading the suttas, that this is the right way to practice. So there is effort, and effort is very important. The Buddha says, if you put in effort in the right way, you will get results. If you make no effort, nothing will happen. But the effort is conditioned. So effort matters, but it comes from conditioning on the outside. So the idea of free will, this is is an interesting problem. It is one of those points you can debate, is there free will or not? I would say personally, I can't really see how there can be any free will. There's just all these conditions happening all the time. We are conditioned this way and that way. There is no room, as far as I can see, for free will. Other people would argue that there is. It's a difficult kind of argument, and I'm not sure how far, how easy it is to actually come to any final conclusion. But it doesn't matter so much. Ordinary person, a putujana in this world, you have a sense of self. And that sense of self gives you a feeling that you have free will, right? Your experience of the world is that I can choose what I want to choose. So use that sense of, that experience. Use the feeling I can choose, and then choose wisely according to that. If in the ultimate sense there is no free will or there is free will, it doesn't really matter so much. The point rather is that we do our best with what we have. And one of the things we have is a sense of free will. So use that wisely here. And then you will be going in the right direction here. Okay, if we could make a robot whose behavior and speech were indistinguishable from a human, would it generate or have karma? If not, why not? What would make the difference, and how could we know? Okay. I think the point is that karma is intention, right? This is what the Buddha says in the suttas. He says, kammang, what does it say? Kammavadam, chetana kammang, right, yeah, chetana kammang vadami, right. So it's intention that is karma, right? So can a robot really have intention? What a robot probably has, it has a program inside of itself that makes it go this way and go that way. It doesn't really have intention in the human way. To have intention, you have to have consciousness, right? These things go together. And if the robot really did have consciousness, then probably it could make karma. But presumably, it doesn't have any consciousness. So in that case, it cannot make any karma. I wonder what a robot might get reborn as. Interesting one. Some kind of robot heaven or something. So, Yeah, so essentially I think the answer is no, there's no such possibility here. Okay. Given the variety of cultures and society we know of today, if one were to look back over the eons of world contraction and expansion, shouldn't we expect to see everything from pre-agrarian and futuristic societies, i.e. those that were further along in the world cycle than we are in ours? Shouldn't this variety have been worthy of comment by the Buddha and subsequent arahants? The apparent lack of recognition of this social variation is one of my biggest obstacles to accepting the idea of past lives. It would, however, be a great tool for anthropologists. Okay. Is it worthy of comment by the Buddha and arahants? I'm not sure if it really is worthy of comment. Because, so what? You know, society may look a bit different. The heart of human beings will still be the same, right? It will still be obsessed by cravings and anger and all these kind of things. That is what really matters. The problems we face inside are still the same. We still have suffering, we still have happiness. That is what really is important. So we look back, and what we see is that essentially our psychological makeup is largely the same over the eons. So whether society changes or not, that is really quite an irrelevant thing. But it is true, though, and I sometimes the suttas are a bit funny in that way, because they talk about the Dhamma always arising in Jambudvipa. Jambudvipa is the Indian subcontinent, and there is this kind of inward-lookingness in that particular sense. But when it comes to this, these important suttas on the recollection of past lives, etc., I don't think there it is necessary to talk about such issues. They are really, as far as I'm concerned, are secondary, not really concerned with the heart of the Dhamma, which is quite different. Okay.